Well, we are here to worship God today. Let me just give one or two notices before we start the formal part of our service. A very, very warm welcome to everybody. It's good to see you all. And very warm welcome. I'll just see who there is that I can think. Oh, you're new. Anyway, I think you're all familiar, so you're very welcome. It is Mothering Sunday, and I do see Christine's here. Got some lovely daffodils on our jumper, so I think we'll have to share those because we're not actually giving them round to everybody. I don't mean Christine, I mean Caroline, sorry. I'm so bad. Your name begins with a letter, so I've got that right, I think. So sorry, there aren't any daffodils. I don't know why we're not giving away on Mothering Sunday, but if you come to Hetton Chapel this afternoon, we give daffodils away. So ladies, you would be very, very welcome. There are other good reasons to come to Hetton Chapel, but that's one. Let me mention as well, on April the 19th, Sunday April 19th at 3 o'clock, Hetton Chapel's got another of their Real Lives events. This time I'm going to be interviewing, excuse me, Piash Jani. brought up in Kenya, in a little village. He never went to school, he never had any shoes. There was just one tiny little shop in the village where he lived, and his mother used to run that, so he'd help in his mother's shop. Age 14, he was brought to England, and he didn't know a word of English. He'd never worn shoes in his life before. Sent immediately to school. Of course, it was an English-speaking school. He didn't know a word. But he went on to become a dentist and a doctor, then the leading consultant surgeon at Avon Brooks Hospital in Cambridge. He's just a total genius. Makes you think, why do we bother going to school for the first 14 years of our life? But there we are. But converted from Hinduism to Christ, and the way he's converted is absolutely unusual, remarkable. He's the only person I've ever known, but several times this has happened, when I've interviewed him, there's a certain stage where everybody just spontaneously boos him. But it's a wonderful opportunity to invite friends to come along to this evangelistic service. I put a load of these cards out there, and medics especially may be interested, but Hindus as well, or anybody. Fascinating story. That's on Sunday 19th of April. You would be very, very welcome. And then just to say, because people have been asking, some of you know I've just been in Armenia for the last 9 days, and it was just wonderful. I fell in love with Armenia. It was bitterly cold, minus 14 degrees. It was thick in snow, but I just loved it. It was the first nation to ever accept Christianity as its national religion. They've been terribly persecuted as a nation surrounded by Islamic nations, all wanting bits of them. And they suffered immensely. 1915, the first 20th century genocide. 1.5 million were driven into the desert and starved to death. And then, of course, 3 years ago, there was war with Azerbaijan, and they lost thousands of other young men. So they've suffered immensely. But signs of Christianity are everywhere. Every village you go to, as you enter, you don't just see the sign of the village. You see a cross. But it is Eastern Orthodox religion and not really a relationship with the Lord. So there's still tremendous spiritual need there. But anyway, enough of that. A wonderful time. We are here to worship the Lord. And let me just pray. Now I'm going to read a passage and then we'll sing together. Father, we give this service over to you. This is all about you and your glory and your honour. And we're here to worship you. We pray, Lord, you concentrate our hearts and minds on the things of eternity. Bless us, do us good, and Lord, please be pleased with our worship, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now let me just read a few words from the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met with him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priests. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Amen. Now, Martin Top, they ask you to give the hymns about 4 or 5 days in advance. So I chose hymns very much on the theme of the Lord Jesus. But it was only last night I decided what I was going to preach on, so I don't quite fit with the theme. But anyway, I trust there'll be a blessing. Let's stand and sing Jesus the Name, High Over All, number 385, Division Praise. Gracious God and loving Father, we do thank you indeed for the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it is our desire this morning that we might, as it were, behold the Lamb of God, to look on him, to gaze on the Lord Jesus. Like those Greeks of old, we would simply say, sirs, we would see Jesus. We thank you for him. We bless you that he, the beloved one throughout all eternity past, was willing to come to earth to go to a cross, to suffer, to die, to rise from the dead, that he might call us to himself. And we come here today as people who want to worship him, love him. We trust him. We want to adore him. We want to live like him. We want to be more like him. Father, we thank you that this is the Lord's day. And we remember especially Jesus rising from the dead. And we remember how his mother and the other Mary came early that first Easter Sunday morning to seek the Lord Jesus and to meet with him. Father, we do want to thank you for Mary. We thank you, Lord, that chosen young girl, as far as we understand it, to give birth to the one, the Holy One of Israel, to give birth to the one who is to be the Saviour of the world. We thank you for her love toward you. We thank you for her obedience to her son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that in him, she too found salvation. We thank you, Lord, that you used a sinner to bring into the world the Saviour of the world. We thank you, Lord, for mothers throughout history. There are some that stand out to us from the scriptures. We think of Hannah pleading for that child and then saying, "For this child I asked, and the Lord has answered my prayer." We thank you too, Lord, for mothers today and for every mother in this congregation. And for all the mothers that all of us have had, Lord, we want to give you thanks. They may not have been perfect, but then, Lord, you bless them and you use them not only to give us life, but, Lord, to nurture us and to bring us up, and some of us to bring us up in the ways of the Lord, and we thank you for them. And we do pray, Lord, for each mother here today, that you bless them, continue to minister to them, give them wisdom, grace, help. Lord, please, make them a blessing to many others. May they be role models of being what it is to be a godly mother, showing to those around us in the world where there's often dysfunctionality in families, what it is to be a Christian, seeking to follow you and live as you would have us live. So, Lord, we thank you for our mothers, and we bless you, Lord, that there is a generation of mothers who still love you and want to serve you, and we commit them to you. Father, there are tremendous needs in the world, needs of broken families around us, needs too of war and rumours of war and fear and instability and insecurity. Lord, these things burden us. We can't imagine what some of the folk in the Middle East are enduring at this moment, and in Ukraine. And then, Lord, just nations where there's such dire poverty, people wonder how they'll live day by day. They suffer from cold and needing medication and unable to find it. Lord, can a simple prayer in this little chapel from here be heard in heaven in such a way that you answer? Lord, we believe it can, and therefore we pray. We lay before you these needs of which you're well aware, but Lord, we commit them to you. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the way you've blessed us here. We thank you for Alan, and we pray for him, thinking the Shetland Isles at the moment. May he have a good time of rest and recovery, refreshment, that he might come and continue to minister to us. Bless him, we pray, this day, no doubt in a place wherein your name is honoured. Lord, may that be a good service as we pray for ourselves. Lord, you know each need that we have here. So we commit ourselves, our situations, the worries, the anxieties that we have. Lord, we commit them all to you. But we commit our lives to you as well. And we ask, dear God, that you'd help us to live each new day for your glory. Give us grateful hearts. Give us thankful hearts. Give us hearts that are willing to serve and minister to others. And we pray now that you'd minister to us. Forgive us our sin. Make yourself real to us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing again as we prepare ourselves to gather together around the Lord's table. It's number 520. 520, there we are.
Oh,
John and David join me down here, please? We come now to the Lord's Supper. Let me read some verses from Scripture. This is from 1 Corinthians 11. The Apostle Paul writes and says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So we gather now just to remember the Lord in the way that he's commanded. There's nothing magical, but it is a wonderful spiritual blessing just to have something tangible that focuses our mind to remember what the Lord Jesus did. His body was broken on the cross as he bore our sin, and his very precious blood was shed that he might wash away all the guilt, all the stains of our life. And here we are encouraged, instructed to take this bread and drink this wine. We do need to examine ourselves. None of us are sinless. But we need to make sure that we're walking with the Lord. And if there is sin there that we're harbouring, to confess it. Ask him to cleanse us and bring us back into a right relationship with himself. And if there's a lack of fellowship between us, if you have a grudge, towards somebody, or you just feel, I don't want to be with them, we need to sort that out so that we can come together as the Lord's people and remember the Lord Jesus Christ and thank him for his death and his resurrection. We're going to take the bread in just a moment. It's a little bit risky what I'm going to say now. I'm going to ask perhaps two or three to just lead us in prayer, but not long prayers, just short prayers of thanksgiving for the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two or three people just lead us. So we'll do the same again when we come to the cup. But these are not long prayers of intercession, but short prayers of thanks. Anybody, please lead us.
Dear Lord Jesus, how hard it was for you to come to that cross. Scriptures remind us that you had to set your face like flint to endure that suffering on our behalf. Lord, it was costly beyond belief, and yet you gave that life for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross and cling. Lord, we just thank you that there's nothing that we have to do to earn salvation, that you did it all on the cross. So we do praise and thank you this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you are awesome. We are nothing. Thank you for saving us.
Amen. 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 So it was the same night in which the Lord Jesus was betrayed. He took the bread and he broke it and he said, "Now take, eat in remembrance of me." So we just focus our minds and we give thanks to God for what he's done for us. Perhaps two or three now, just to give thanks for the blood of the Lord Jesus.
Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the blood that was shed for us, that washes us whiter than snow. Mm. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me, like Mary through the gloom, come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb. Lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary.
Amen. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, we cannot start to plummet the depths of the suffering of our Saviour. We thank you that he loved us and gave himself for us. We thank you that he bore our sin in his own body on that cross long ago. We thank you, Father, that today there is full and free salvation, and all because of Jesus. We bless you for him. And now as we remember, as we take this cup, that precious blood, Lord, help us to do so with deep gratitude and renewed commitment. For we ask in his precious name, amen. Amen. Shall we drink together? Lord, we do give you thanks again for the Lord Jesus, his cross, his resurrection. Lord, help us to continue in a mind that focuses our attention on him and that accept our prayers, we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing again, 500, oh no, sorry, it's 55, isn't it? Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. Medication, I've no idea which one it is because I take so much, but one of them dries up my mouth, so every few moments if you see me sipping, I'm sorry, but otherwise I'd be choking, I think. So Psalm 107, and we're going to look together at this psalm, and when we have the sermon, it'd be good to have the psalm open, but let's read it together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, then go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so he guides them and to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness. For the wickedness of those who dwell in it, he turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly. He does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Amen. What a great psalm. Let's sing again. We'll look together at that psalm. Number 251. 251. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. Beyond the sacred page, Lord, we seek thee. And so now as we turn to your word, we pray that you speak to us, do our hearts good, point us to the Lord Jesus, we ask in his name. Amen.
Amen.
So Psalm 107, if you can have it open. Somebody said, some wit, if you want to find gratitude, look in a dictionary. And I want to really think a little bit about this whole theme of thankfulness and gratitude. It's often said that thinking comes before thanking. But I wonder how much we thank. Therefore, it makes you wonder how much we think. So 10 lepers healed by the Lord Jesus, and only one goes back, and not the one you'd expect. Only one goes back to give thanks. Why was that? Where are our thoughts of God if we don't find ourselves thankful? Interesting verse in Romans chapter 1. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So you forget God, and then you forget to give thanks. If we just stop for a moment and think about ourselves and all that God has done for us, he's clothed us, he's kept us. We may have had our ups and downs and various battles and difficulties and all the rest, but nevertheless we're here and we're rejoicing and giving thanks. And whatever responsibilities and circumstances we find ourselves in, I do believe there should be an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thankfulness. So Psalm 107, it's the third in three psalms, a trilogy of psalms. Psalm 105, the people are given the land. The Israelites given their promised land. Psalm 106, the people are now dispersed over the land. And then we come to Psalm 107, and we find that, yes, they're gathered and they can look back on the deliverance that God has given them. And it should be one of thankfulness. But I don't know whether you noticed, but as we were reading, two verses are repeated four times. And there are four sort of lovely pictures that are found in this psalm. We're going to look at them. The first one, verses 1 to 8, breaks up very nicely in our Bibles. It's the picture of a wandering traveller needing direction, but finding the guide. Each of these stanzas, if I can put it like that, is in five parts, and this one is. So you find trouble is pictured and portrayed. They're in difficulty. So then prayer is made, and God answers that prayer, and he gives help. And then there's thanksgiving and praise to God. Either a reason for it, such as in verse 9 and verse 16 rather, or an appeal is made that they might give thanks, such as in verse 22. So a reason for it, verse 9, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness, verse 16, for he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Or an appeal is made to let them give thanks. Look at verse 22. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. We all face circumstances in life that we didn't expect. We don't know to what today will bring. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. Things just happen. I was at a funeral in Pontefract on Friday. It was a wonderful Christian funeral. It blessed me immensely. But then just afterwards, just shot to hear that a friend of mine, just over a week ago, playing table tennis, don't know why he was doing that, but there we are, and bent down to pick up the ball, the little tennis ball, and just collapsed. And last Sunday he went to be with the Lord. He didn't expect that. He went to play table tennis and just suddenly taken. We never know what life's going to bring for us. I'm sure many of you have heard this wonderful quotation of Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry lived in the 1600s. He lived over in Cheshire. You can still go and see his pulpit, which is the most awful building, but nevertheless, there's his pulpit. And of course, he's famous for writing the Matthew Henry commentary that people still love today. There was an incident when he was robbed by a highwayman. Now imagine that, how terrifying. You don't know what's going to happen. He was robbed by a highwayman. And he wrote in his diary that night. Now think about this. This is what he wrote. Let me be thankful. First, because I've never been robbed before. Secondly, because although they took everything, it wasn't much in the first place. Thirdly, because although they took everything, they didn't take my life. And fourthly, listen to this. Because it was I who was robbed, and not I who was robbing. Mm. Wow. Thankfulness. Or Roland Bingham, the founder of the Sudan Interior Mission, wonderful missionary man, was involved in a car crash in Africa, taken to hospital. He was unconscious for a while, but eventually regained consciousness, was looking around, trying to understand where he was and what had happened. He said to the nurse, "Where am I? What's happened?" And she said, Mr. Bingham, you've been involved in an accident, but you are going to be all right. And he just interrupted. Can you imagine this? And he said, accident? Accident? There are no accidents in the life of a Christian. This is just one more incident in God's perfect leading. Well, what must it have been like if he hadn't had an accident? You know? But it's this attitude of thankfulness. I wonder how thankful we are with everything that happens. When our children were young, and I wouldn't have dared say this if they were here, but they're not. So when our children were young, we sort of faced a bit of a problem of grumbling. It's an interesting concept, is grumbling. It's so easy to grumble and be dissatisfied and find fault. So as a family, we introduced something called grumble points. And every time you grumble, you've got a point. So the one who got most points at the end of the day, they were the losers. Whether they grumbled about it or not, I don't know. But I ask yourself, I wonder how much you grumble. I wonder how much you criticise compared with how much you give thanks. Well, here is the psalmist going through a difficult terrain, having this journey which he's finding very hard. So what's he do in verse 6? He cries out to the Lord. The Lord delivered him. And verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. As you're going through the journey of life, whatever a doctor might say to you tomorrow, whatever a letter or an email might convey to you tomorrow, whatever situation just seems hard, let's learn to be thankful. I really mean it. An attitude that it's not undiscerning, but it's thankfulness. We're told in all things to give thanks to the Lord. It doesn't say for all things, but it does say in all things to give thanks to the Lord. Then the second picture, this is verses 10 to 16, is of a needy prisoner looking for freedom and finding a deliverer. This time, it's not circumstances that are causing the person problems, it's sin. Now, we are all sinners. The funeral I was at on Friday was the most wonderful, godly man. Some of you will know the name, Bill Dyer. He came from the southwest up to Pontefract in the early 1980s, went to a tiny congregation, well, a big building, but a small congregation in Pontefract, and began to preach the gospel. Literally, I'm not exaggerating, literally hundreds of people were converted in the 80s and the 90s. And this church, which was basically empty, became full of Yorkshire miners and locals. It was an amazing sort of mini revival for a few years. I was very taken by the prayerfulness of the man. Very, very prayerful. And his son, who gave one of the eulogies, said whatever he was doing at 9 o'clock, he'd see him slip off to his room and he'd there just go and pray. And he prayed about every member of the congregation, he prayed about Pontefract. It was a wonderful tribute, it left me very challenged. But as it happens, I was to give a tribute as well. And I just threw in this sentence because I think sometimes we can eulogize about the people who have gone. I said, look, he was a sinner saved by grace. And no matter what great things somebody might accomplish, we're sinners, aren't we? And here, it's a sinner, got himself, herself into real trouble, finds himself in prison. So what did he do? Well, look at verse 13. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And then look at verse 15. It's the second time it's found here. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Wow, see? It's serious. And yet we have an answer. Now, the psalmist here would have to look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus. We look back and think, oh, he's died. He's borne our sin. He's provided a way of forgiveness. We've asked for forgiveness. We've asked for deliverance. And he has provided it. He has set the prisoner free. And what a wonderful thing to give thanks for. How often, day by day by day, do we simply give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ, for what he's done to us, for what he means to us, how precious he is. It's a testimony of every true believer. There came a moment when we looked to Calvary and our sins washed away. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Let's rejoice in it. Let's be thankful for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And then the third picture, this time it's of an afflicted individual needing healing and finding a physician. Verses 17 to 22. Again, there's repetition. In verse 19, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them out of their distresses. And then in verse 22, the same thing. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Sin is a bit like a disease. It spreads, it debilitates, of course, eventually it kills. And we all face illnesses of one sort or another. I still don't like to think of myself as old. I keep reminding myself John Wesley never admitted he was old till he was 84. So I've still got, 63 years to go or something. And so I don't like to think of myself as old. But do you know, I went to watch Carousel on Wednesday in Yeadon, and you saw all these young people with all the energy to act this musical. I thought, oh wow, I wish I'd got that energy. Well, I don't anymore. We face illnesses, don't we? We face weakness. We find ourselves losing, I don't know, the fun and the activity, the enthusiasm of life. God's diagnosis is always accurate, but he can heal every wound. He is able to deal with our situations, and even if we're in our lowest state, he can give his presence in a very real way. On Friday as well, it was a busy day. I went to see a man I knew very well, I'd done a lot of mission work with, but Alzheimer's has just taken away everything. He just lays there, he couldn't speak. He did recognise me, but that was it, and he doesn't say anything all day. He hoisted into a bed, and then out of a bed, into a chair, out of a chair, into a bed. That's his day. Can the Lord minister to a man like that? Can he speak to his soul? Can he give him a sense of rejoicing? Can he give a man like that an attitude of thankfulness? The answer has to be yes. I don't understand how, but he ministers to the spirit in our deepest weakness. Many years ago, I was 17 years of age, and I arranged for a coach to go from Birstall and Batley in West Yorkshire to go to Harrogate to an evangelistic meeting there. And somehow we managed to fill it, and we went. And there was a girl there that eventually I was to marry. I don't mean dot, I mean I was to take the marriage service on. And she was converted that night, Lynn. And eventually she was to marry a man who professed to be converted at one of my missions. So it was very encouraging to be able to speak at their wedding. And then she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And when she told her husband, who was an elder of the church, and as I say, supposed to have been converted at a meeting, he just said to her instantly, "I'm not living with this." And he just left her with their two daughters. She slowly lost physical abilities and eventually spent 27 years lying in a Leonard Cheshire home in Cleckheaton, slowly losing every ability. And I used to pop and see her, and she was just laying there. And eventually she got to the stage, she couldn't even speak. She was radiant, absolutely radiant. And she's always left me very challenging, because whenever I'm debilitated or feeling weak, I'm not very radiant, I get grumble points. But no, she just shone for the Lord Jesus Christ. It made me learn the lesson that, do you know, sometimes God allows us to suffer pain, that in our weakest situation we can still glorify him. And here is this person needing help, seriously ill, and yet finding a physician and finding reason to give thanks to the Lord. He can heal the broken heart. He can heal the broken body. But even if he allows to go through the depths of suffering, his footsteps are in the sea. And he takes us through it. He doesn't leave us. He goes with us. He carries us through. And he promises us to give us sufficient to give him thanks, whatever our fractured life might feel like. And then the fourth picture, verses 23 to 32, and I think this is so dramatic. This is a picture of a storm-tossed seaman needing calm and finding the storm stiller. Let me read it again, because I just think it's so wonderful. 23, I just think it pictures it. If ever you've been in a storm at sea, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises a stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. You can imagine this. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men and are at their wits' end. Wow. Things may well happen to us this year that we never imagined. Some of you know, my mother grew up in Lebanon and I visited there a couple of years ago. I went round the Armenian Quarter and saw these little Armenian shops and all the rest, and two cousins lived there. And a bomb fell on there, on that very quarter, on Thursday. Can you imagine that? You're living in your flat, your home, and suddenly. The depths that we have to go to. Yes, we have the heights, they're wonderful. Well, sometimes they can be dangerous. I don't know whether you know the name Martin Rickhart. I wouldn't know it, but I know what he wrote. He was a pastor in Germany in the late 1500s and into the early 1600s during the 30-year war. All the pastors in his locality were killed, every one of them. So he had to take the funerals of the people who were not only dying because of war, but because of famine and because of plague that was spreading. He did 1,500 funerals in a week. Can you imagine that? And it went on week after week after week. He took the funeral of a couple of his children. He took the funeral of his own wife. And whilst he heard fighting outside his house on the street, he sat down with his remaining children and he prayed. And his prayer, he wrote into a hymn. He wrote many hymns, but this is the one that has remained, really. I understand after "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," which is the most popular hymn in Germany, this is the second most popular hymn. Think again who wrote it and let me read it. "Now thank we all our God, with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in our peace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills, in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son, and him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom heaven and earth adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore." What right have we to grumble and moan and feel woe is me and go on pity parties, when God has done so much for us and given us so many great things in abundance? We live in a fallen world and we know it's tough. We do know it's tough, but nevertheless, so much for which to be thankful. And if we don't even feel we can be thankful for our present situation, let's look forward to glory, where we'll be with the Lord Jesus, enjoying him, serving him, being with him, worshipping him through all eternity. What a wonderful thing to look forward to and anticipate. Finally, these last few verses in Psalm 107. The psalmist is sort of reflecting, verses 33 to 43. He speaks of soil to begin with, and then of the soul after the soil. He speaks of barrenness and fruitfulness, verses 33 to 38. He speaks of confusion and then prosperity, verses 39 to 43. He speaks of God able to turn good into bad, verses 33 and 34. He speaks of God able to turn bad to good. Verses 35 to 36. He speaks of bringing the mighty low, verses 39 and 40. He speaks of exalting the lowly, verse 41. And he does all of this for his glory and for our good. According to verse 43, let's look at it. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. According to that verse, if the duty of praise is neglected, God is defrauded. I think it's very challenging. So how much do I just stop and think and praise and give thanks? Do I find myself like Bildad, just sneaking off, just to have some time of prayer and praise? When I open my eyes first thing in the morning, is my first thought to praise God, to thank He's kept me through another night, He's giving me the opportunity of another day. Every day I have on earth is given by the King. And last thing at night, before I sleep, are my last thoughts to give thanks to God, to praise Him, to ponder the Lord Jesus and consider His great love. Gratitude is not only for the dictionary. It is to be the habit of our life. It's to come from our heart and our lips and to be the expression of our souls day by day. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing, shall we? Crown Him with many crowns. Gracious Father, heaven will be filled for us with your praise and thankfulness. So Lord, help us to taste heaven now. Help us to be a thankful, praise-giving, worshipping people, adoring a triune God, Father who made us and loved us, the Son who gave himself for us, and the Holy Spirit who works within us to mould us and make us to be more like the Lord Jesus. Oh God, we give you thanks for so great salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.